أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing? Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair for being here on this evening, taking time of your weekend to come here. And I know we brought you here to, we made the environment a little entertaining, but this is not an entertaining topic. This is not a topic that we are taking lightly. It's a very serious topic. And this topic is something which is relevant to everyone here. Every single one of us, you, me, my parents, your parents, my children, your children, will experience this. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we cannot avoid, we cannot escape. All we can do is prepare for this moment. So tonight we'll talk about the barzakh. We'll talk about death and what happens afterwards. And this is something which we will all experience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us Surah Tabarak. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. All blessings and blessed is He who created, who in His hand is the dominion, the ruler, the custodian of the universe, and He has power over all things, who created death and life to test us, who of us will be the best in actions. But this life is a test. This life is but a journey. As the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, we are just passing through it, like a traveler who stops for some shade and then he moves on. This period that you are here on this dunya is an exam. And we don't know when that exam is going to end. We don't know when time is up. And then Allah will judge how we lived our life, what we did during this exam, how we spent these few days and years on this dunya. And our time on this dunya is limited. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِعْلَمُوا, know that the life of this world is play and amusement. We start off like kids like this. We play games. We play soccer, we play rugby, amusement, we go out, we have friends. We start in our youth. And adornment, we start making ourselves beautiful to attract the opposite sex. We want to get married. And boasting to one another, we compete and boast with one another in terms of wealth and children. That's our life. We started off as children, teenagers, got married, had jobs, amassed wealth, had children, and then we die. Allah says, this is your life. The lifespan of a person is roughly 70 to 80 years. For some of us, we need to ask, how far are we? If you are in your 30s, statistically speaking, you're halfway done with your life. I don't want to make anyone sad here, but the reality is, you've got 30, if you're lucky, 30, 40 years to go. Very few of us will hit our 90s. If we're lucky, maybe our 80s. Some of us, we might even get to our qabr earlier. Allah says, this is the reality. No one is going to escape that. And Allah says, this life is just like the rain that falls and makes the plant grow. It looks beautiful, but how long does a plant survive? When you buy the plants, the roses on, you know, from the shop, and you give it to your wife or someone that you love, how long before those plants wilt? Within a week or two, then it's dead. Allah says, this is how the life is. And then we go into the akhirah, where there is severe punishment and there is great forgiveness from Allah. There is both. And what is this world, Allah says? What is this world except a deception, a false gold? Everything that you held on will disappear. No use, no benefit. So the purpose of life, this is the exam. This is the question that all of us must answer. Ultimately, everything comes down to this. And perhaps the most important part of my lecture is this. If you take anything away from tonight's lecture, it's this. Allah says, I put you in the jinn. I have not created the jinn and mankind except that they should worship me. That Allah should be the central focus point in our life. We shouldn't worship anyone but Him. That the one who will go to Allah, yes, we will be sinful. Yes, we will make mistakes. Yes, we might even commit many sins. But if we can stand before Allah and says, Ya Allah, la ilaha illallah, I have not worshipped anyone but you. Not an idol, not my money, not my children, not a kramat, not a wali, no one except you, then you are guaranteed Jannah. Allah has promised us we'll go to Jannah. This is what it comes down to. We have these few years to perfect this. But ultimately, our time will run up. And we don't know how many moments are left. For some of us here, it may be soon. For some of us here, it may be later. Allah says, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut." Every single person, every single one will taste death. And the reason why Allah says taste death, because death is but the beginning. It's just the taste of what will follow. And only on the day of the judgment shall you be paid your wages in full. And whoever is removed on that day from the fire and is admitted to Jannah, then he indeed is successful. He passed this exam. And the life of this world, Allah says again, is only the enjoyment of deception. It's only, it's cheating you, keeping you blind. Allah says, wherever you so be, Allah, death will reach you. Even if you are in fortresses built up, no matter what you do, no matter how strong you are, how young you are, how wealthy you are, where you are, you can't escape it. You can't fight it. You can't hide from it. It's coming. Verily, death from which you flee will surely meet you. No matter how much you try, it's going to come. And everything comes to an end. Not just us, but think about this. Everything we work for, everything that we put into place, everything we build will die, will come to an end. Allah says, that do not worship anyone besides Allah. Kullu shay'in halik. Everything will die. Even this planet, the sun, the moon, everything will die. Illa wajhallah. Illa wajhahu. Except the face, the essence of Allah. Except Him alone. Kullu man alayha fan. Everything on this earth will die. Will come to an end. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And only the face of your Lord of majesty and honor will remain forever. We then begin to ask ourselves, what is important in life? The only things that will remain, will last forever, are those things which we've given to Allah in terms of good deeds. The only things in Surah Kaf, Allah says, الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. That the good deeds, they will remain forever. The mountains will disappear. The oceans will disappear. The sun, the moon will disappear. But your salah will stay forever. Your fasting will stay forever. That 1 rand you gave in charity will be with Allah forever. That is what will remain. Now the moment of death is coming. It's an appointment in my diary, in your diary. It's a truth, it's a promise. And the Prophet ﷺ of his sunnah, he would point to the youngest person. There's a baby there, there's this young boy here. When this young man, what's your name? Sorry? Enrico. When Enrico is an old man, all of us will be dead. When Enrico has a long beard that is grey, most likely all of us will be in our qabr. Subhanallah, we walk by the cemetery and we see someone was, he's in his grave longer than he was on the dunya. He's been in his qabr for 300, 400, 500 years, but he only lived 50 years. And this is not even the akhirah yet. It's just that moment between this world and that. So I want us to think of that moment. Think in your mind, my mind. It might be many years from now when we're old, we're on our deathbed, we're sickly, and we realize that time is up. We might be sitting in a doctor's office and he says, nothing we can do, we can only make you comfortable. It might be, ma'yadu billah, a car accident when we least expect it. Might be a sudden heart attack. But that moment is coming. So we ask ourselves, and we look at ourselves now in that moment, what will we be thinking of in that moment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about dying, Alhaakumut takathur. The competition, the struggle, the rat race, the challenge, that everything that we do in this life, it's just a distraction, it's a delusion, it's a mirage. Hatta zurtumul maqabir. It only ends the day we visit the grave, meaning we go and we get admitted to the grave. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. That moment when we are put in the grave, everything will, we will realize the reality. I ask you now, think of the problems in your life, the worries that you have right now. We all have worries. I have worries. Think about the things you're arguing with someone about at the moment. Something that is bothering you. Think about your dreams and your hopes. If you knew you only had 1 week to live, will those things still be important? Will those things still be the problems, and you realize, my problems are not real problems. So Allah says, when we reach the grave, we realize what was important and what was not important. For some of us, it's too late. For others, alhamdulillah, they realize that before this moment. And the purpose of this lecture is for us to realize that before that day comes, before we reach the qabr. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says again, no, you are going to find out when you enter the qabr. If only you knew with knowledge of certainty, and you will surely see the fire of Jahannam, then you will surely see it with the eye, with your eyes. then you will surely be asked on the day of judgment about this life that we live, about the na'im, the joys, the pleasures that we had. What did we do with our time? What did we spend our time with? The Prophet ﷺ says, remember the thing that cuts off enjoyment. There's nothing that sours a mood than talking about death. Yes, it's the most morbid thing to talk about. But the Prophet says, think about this constantly. Remind yourselves, myself, I speak to myself first, when we start planning and planning and planning for the next holiday, we plan for that extension in the house, for the new sports car. When we plan and we plan, we realize our time is short. What are we really wasting? What are we really focusing on? Remember that it will cut off. It will cut off that joy. Meaning, you will not feel sad for the things you don't have because you realize you're not going to keep it. Your hardships, your struggles, you realize it is momentary. And the things that you have, you realize it's not mine. It's going back to Allah. So it will keep you from abusing those things. Death puts everything into perspective. When you die, when we die, we will look at our cupboard. The moments before we die, maybe the day before we die, we look at our cupboard, all the clothes that we didn't wear. We'll look at the money in our account and we think, what was all this for? We'll go through our albums of memories and we think, how much of it was just wasted of time? We didn't build true relationships. We'll go through our phones and we look at all the names, how many of those are true friends? People that will really make dua for us. People that will remember us. What were they? We'll look at our sins and we think, did we make istighfar? We'll think of the salahs we've missed, the ibadahs, the opportunities that we've missed, the charities that we should have been given, and that regret will come. How we meet Allah, how that death, how the angel of death meets us, is the beginning of how the rest of our akhirah will be. The Prophet ﷺ says that if Allah loves you, may Allah love all of us, He will sweeten us before we die. The Sahaba said, what do you mean by sweeten them? Allah will start making us do good deeds. Or Allah will maybe give us a sickness that purifies us. But He takes us away in a good state. Of the best things that we can do, and something, how many of us ask? I speak to myself, how many of us ask Allah, Ya Allah, grant me a good death. Grant me a death where I am pleasing You. Not a death where I'm disobeying You. A death where I'm in ibadah, not a death where I'm in sin. There are people, alhamdulillah, I know, in our time still, there's a colleague of mine, he mentioned his brother-in-law, they took him to Mecca. He was a disabled man, but he was at the haram, in ihram, fasting, and he died like that. Allahu Akbar. We know of scholars not so long ago, on the mataf, in front of the Kaaba, just fasting, and they pass away like that. And there are others, subhanAllah, in bad ways, they pass away. How will we meet death? We hope and we pray Allah gives us a good death. But that moment comes when we are pleasing Allah. And obviously we cannot just get lucky and be taken in our sujood, but you have to work towards that and ask for that and beg Allah for that. So there are signs of a good death. From the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentions that for some believers, Allah already gives the family and gives that believer the good news that his life was, you know, he passed this test. And there are certain signs for the believer that indicates a good death. Of course, the greatest thing is to die with a shahada on your tongue. Because the one who dies with La ilaha illallah, the hadith says he will enter Jannah. A believer who dies with the kalima on his tongue, he will enter Jannah. May Allah grant all of us that tawfiq, that mercy, that when we go with a kalima on our tongue. There's a hadith, very interesting hadith in Ahmad, Musnad ibn Ahmad, the Prophet says, the believer dies with sweat on his forehead. Doesn't mean that if someone died without any sweat, that there's something wrong with him. But if you maybe have a relative, and you may think to yourself, they were going through some sickness, and they were perspiring on their forehead, it's a good sign maybe from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a kindness to that person. A beautiful death is also someone who dies on a Thursday night, or Friday, that the Prophet ﷺ says, a Muslim who dies on the day of Friday or the night of Friday, Allah will protect that person from the trial, the fitna of the qabr. We'll talk about the fitna of the qabr. Obviously, this is a wonderful way to die. Perhaps the best way to die is fighting in the cause of Allah. Allah says, think not of those as dead who are killed in the path of Allah, the mujahideen. They are alive with their Lord and they have provisions and Allah is giving them and providing for them that their life is better than this life. This is a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, the shaheed is not just the one who dies, in battle. But the one who dies of an infectious disease, and this is of the mercy of Allah, Allah counts him as a shaheed, and he gets the rewards of a shaheed. So plague or infectious diseases, hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, that if you find yourself in a situation with this plague, you cannot leave your city, you must stay there, and if you die with this, then you're counted as a shaheed. Also of the mercies Allah has included, the martyrs are five. There are five types of people who are counted as a shaheed. And if they die in that manner, they are protected from the terrors of the grave. One of them is the one who dies of plague, the one who dies of a stomach disease. So maybe you have a relative, someone that has been just diagnosed, pancreatic cancer, stomach cancer. It's a mercy from Allah. Yes, we don't make dua, ya Allah, give me cancer. But we said to those who are given a stomach disease, it's a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all have to die. We all have to die. The best way is to die in a way that we can prepare ourselves and purify ourselves. Allah mentions in the Quran that a people that Allah is displeased with, He gives them full freedom. And in that moment of their sin, He takes them. That's the worst. While they're disobeying Allah, He takes them. But for these people, Allah gives them a disease to purify them. And the stomach disease is one of those things, because it's so painful, because of the hardship of that disease, they actually get the reward of a martyr. The one who drowns, he gets the reward of a martyr. The one who is crushed by a falling wall. And I think of the people that died in the tsunami. The one blessing, or the one, it's a tragedy, and it's sad, but the one blessing is to think that those people who drowned, or collapsed, they are a shaheed now. Their sins are wiped out. They have been transitioned to a better place. So that is of the mercy of Allah. Allah does not ever inflict us with some kind of calamity except that He will compensate us. No pain, we know the hadith, no pain or fatigue or hardship or depression, even if you bump your toe or you prick your toe on a thorn, except Allah will remove a sin and give you something better in replace. That's how Allah is. And the one, of course, who dies, the martyr, the true martyr, is the one who fights in the path of Allah. A woman who dies in childbirth is a shaheed. She is a martyr. What a great honor Allah has given. So hadith in Abu Dawood. A woman who dies with a child is a martyr. And that child will drag its mother to Jannah by the umbilical cord. So anyone who's lost a child, anyone who's died because of childbirth, this is, again, Allah will compensate handsomely for that. You earn your Jannah through that. Someone who dies defending his wealth, defending his family, maybe this is more applicable to us. We know we live in a country where, subhanAllah, we might become the victim of some crime. And we ask ourselves, why, ya Allah? Why did this happen? But Allah will compensate that loss. Someone died because he was defending his family, defending his life, defending his wealth from criminals. Allah will give him that of a martyr. Bukhari and Muslim. The mercy of Allah, we can't begin to count it. That Allah has given us multiple ways to meet Him in a good way. One of the signs of a good death is dying whilst doing a righteous deed. As the hadith says, whoever says La ilaha illallah and he's sincere in that, and that is his last deed, he's almost basically guaranteed Jannah. Similarly, someone who gives charity, and that's his last deed, he ends his account in a good deed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixes the rest of it. So you know, it's like an exam. That last moment, that last question, if it's a good one, and you do good on that, Allah will wipe out the things of the past. He will make it good. The rest of it will be good. How merciful is Allah? And that's why as we get closer and our time goes, we have to, you know, prepare ourselves by doing as much good deeds. Because again, it's not that we're going to get it lucky. We lived a forgetful life and all of a sudden we'll make that first salah. And then Allah takes us. No, it doesn't work that way. But if we make ibadah part of our life, it will be at that moment of death, we will reach Allah, inshaAllah. May Allah bless us with a good death. Of course, there's a type of dying which is not good. A type of dying which is bad. There are those who meet Allah, and Allah actually causes it that they forget Him, that they commit sin, that because of their life, as an added punishment, Allah lets them die in a bad state. Committing haram, committing zina, drinking, in a state of intoxication, some kind of sin, may Allah protect us, it takes us away in that moment. So Allah says, if only you could see when the angels take these people's souls while they are committing sin, beating them and saying, what did you do with your life? Now the punishment is waiting for you. That is because of that which your hands had done. And verily Allah is not unjust to anybody. Allah will only let you meet your death. My death will be a reflection of our lives. Except if Allah is merciful on us, He will give us more. But never will He be unjust. We ask Allah to forgive us of the sins. And that moment, whenever it comes, Ya Allah, grant us to prepare. Let us not be taken suddenly. Let us only be taken in a good state. Let us prepare ourselves, Ya Allah, for that moment. We are forgetful, Ya Allah. We become engrossed in the dunya. We think of our careers, our holidays, of our kids. And that moment is far from our minds. But Ya Allah, out of your mercy, don't take us in a moment when we are forgetful. Let us be, take us in the best of our actions. Ameen. So Allah says, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْخُلْقُومِ. Now the soul is taken from the mouth. So Allah says, then why when the soul at death reaches the throat, it's coming up. And this is when it's sakarat. When that moment of death reaches, it comes to the throat. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. And your eyes follow the angel of death. So the Prophet ﷺ says that when the soul is taken, the eyes are still watching as the soul leaves and the eyes become fixed. So what happens when someone dies? Now we'll talk first about us. What do we do? Those of us that remain, of the things that we need to do. So the Prophet ﷺ, the famous companion Abu Salama, he passed away. And when he died, the Prophet ﷺ visited him. The Prophet ﷺ closed his eyes. His eyes were still open. He closed it. And so he said, ﷺ, when the soul is taken, it leaves the body, the eyes follow it. And the family of Abu Salama began to weep and wail, and they began to say things out of sadness that was not appropriate. So the Prophet said to them, rather pray to Allah, only for good for yourselves and for Abu Salama, because at this moment in time, any family going through any calamity, and what can be more of a calamity than to lose a loved one? Make dua, because the angels are with you, and they say ameen for whatever you say. And then the Prophet made this dua. And this is a dua that we make for someone who has died. We say, oh Allah, forgive that person, forgive Ahmad, forgive Auntie so-and-so, Uncle so-and-so. Raise them high in their station, lift them up in their daraja. Let them be among those who are pious, rightly guided, those who are successful. And take good care of the family that has been left behind. Look after that family, O Allah. O Lord of the worlds, forgive him and forgive us. And make his grave wide and put light therein for them. May Allah grant all those who are currently dead mercy, forgiveness. May their graves be filled with light. May it be made wide. May Allah forgive them for any mistakes that they have made. And of course, as I said, Allah mentions, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ اجْعِئُونِي لِعَلِّي أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا. Until when death reaches us, we will beg to Allah, not now, just give me 1 minute so I can make that last EFT. Give me that long last minute to make sujood. Ya Allah, if we knew that death was now in 5 minutes, what would we do? What would we do? I'm asking some of you here, maybe if you have the courage, tell me, what would you do if tonight was your last night? What would you do tonight? Anyone? You might phone someone and ask Maaf, yes? Someone that you're not speaking to, someone you should, will phone them and say Maaf. So don't wait for that day. Do it now. You might have something extra that you've saved and you think for a rainy day, maybe rather give it to someone in charity. There might have been some salah that you've missed. Don't wait until this day. Rather do it tonight. Before we sleep tonight, let's clear our accounts because we don't know if tomorrow is coming. Allah says that moment is the moment of great regret. That will say, if only Ya Allah, send me back. Irji'u. Let me go back just for 1 minute. To do something good, Ya Allah. No, Allah says, of course not. This is not going to happen. It is but a word that He speaks, and behind them is a barzakh. And this is where we get the term barzakh. This world of the dead, we call it the barzakh. That's why the topic is the barzakh. What is the barzakh? The barzakh is a barrier. بَيْنَهُمْ بَرْزَغٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانَ. When Allah speaks about the two oceans, between them is a barzakh, they don't cross. Meaning, between this world, our world, and the world of the dead, there is a barzakh, a barrier. And none can cross over. The living can't go there and come back. And the dead can't come back into the side. That's it. Once you cross the barzakh, there's no coming back. So between us and them is a barzakh, a different world with different rules altogether. And it will be like that until the day of resurrection. So before we cross that barzakh, let nothing be left undone here. Whatever needs to be done, and this is a moment for me, for you to reflect on the problems, on the mistakes of this exam of life, fix them, my brothers and sisters. Fix them before that moment comes. Let that regret not come. When that moment comes, yes, we will all regret. But let that regret not be a huge regret. Let it be, Ya Allah, I've done everything. Maybe I could do a little more. But let that moment come and you've said, Alhamdulillah, no one has a claim against me. There's no major ibadah that I have left. I have done my share of charity. I've left seeds of goodness that will benefit me in my qabr. I've prepared for that moment. Don't let that moment reach us in an unprepared state. Any sin that we've done, major sin, anything, make that istighfar tonight. Remember, it doesn't matter if you just said one astaghfirullah. It could forgive all your sins. If you had a life that was not that good, one good night, one good moment can fix those things. This is the mercy of Allah. Allah's mercy has no limit, but we need to ask for that. And while you're still alive, that moment is there. You still have that opportunity to fix the mistakes. I have that opportunity. And of course, the good doers, death is not a good thing, right? It's not no one looks forward to it. But for those of us that do good, it will be a good moment. Allah says, Ala inna awliya Allah, la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. When death reaches the awliya, and awliya doesn't mean only Tuwanguru, rahimahullah, only Imam Shafi'i. They are awliya amongst us. A young person that doesn't do the haram that all young people do. They make their salah, they're good to their parents, the wali of Allah. A person that goes and he performs his compulsory ibadah, he doesn't harm anyone. He's fair in his business dealings. No one can point the finger at him or her of being a bad person. This is a wali of Allah. And that moment of death comes, Allah will be with you. Because you were with Allah in your life, He will be with you in your death. And you will not feel fear and you will not feel sad. No one likes death, but you will be ready. When that moment comes, you will be ready. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Those who believe, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ And they had a consciousness of Allah, and they did good deeds. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى For them are the good news, the glad tidings in the life of the present world and in the year after. Allah gives them the good news now and in the akhirah. No change can there be in the words of Allah. This is indeed the best, the supreme success, the ultimate success. This is, when we look at people who are successful, sometimes we say, this guy made it. He's got so many billion. That guy made it. This lady made it. No, Allah says, this is the one that made it. The one that on the day when he dies, Allah says, don't feel sad. Time to get your reward. You succeeded. This is what we need to work for. This is the true success. So the moment of death, now let's talk about what happens on that moment of death. There's a long hadith, the hadith of Bara ibn Azib, radiallahu anhu, sahabi. He says, we were with the Prophet to bury somebody. And it was a very somber mood. Everyone was sad. So everyone was quiet. We came to the maqbara. We sat around the grave like this, waiting for the body to be brought. And the Prophet was sitting down as well, and he was quiet. And we all sat down and were quiet, as if though birds were on our head. You know, as if there were statues, we were all just silent. And suddenly the Nabi looked up in the sky, and he looked into the qabr. And he looked up again, and he looked up, and looked down in the qabr, and he says, seek protection from the punishment of the grave, or the fitna of the grave. He said to the Sahaba, say, A'udhu billah min adhab al-qabr. Say, A'udhu billah min adhab al-qabr. Oh Allah, I seek protection. Protect me from the punishment of the qabr. And then he explained, the Prophet now explained to them what's happening. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when someone dies, they're about to die, that moment of death, maybe that person was sick, and now their consciousness, their mind slips in and out. They're beginning to go into the other world. At that moment before they die, the good person, he begins to see in the distance angels coming down. The angels descend and he can see the angels. And they will come looking like the sun, bright like the full moon. And they're smiling, they're just waiting. And he sees them. He sees them. No one can see them except the dead the person who's dying. And he sees them and they're smiling and they don't approach him. And then the angel of death comes himself. And he sits next to the person, and he says, the angel of death says, and he comes in a nice, beautiful form, not a scary form, and he says, "Oh Ahmad, oh Fatima, come, come out now. Come to the mercy and the forgiveness and the pleasure and the reward of Allah. Leave this dunya, come out to the pleasure." And he will encourage the soul so much that the soul itself will pour out of the mouth. You don't have to grab it out. It comes out like water pouring out of a jug. And the angel of death will just hold the soul for a moment. And then he passes it on to these other angels that have come. Because those angels have come with clothing from Jannah. Because the soul is now naked. They come with clothing of Jannah and perfume from Jannah. And they will wrap the soul up in those perfumes. And every time the angels will crowd this person, they want to shake his hand, shake her hand and say, "MashaAllah, well done. You are successful today. You've done it. You've achieved it. You've passed the exam." And they will call you on the best of names. And even though they will bring you, they will bring perfume from Jannah, you will smell better than the perfume of Jannah. The soul itself will give off the smell that the angels will love. Now the angels will carry the soul. And they will carry up and up into the sama. You travel up into the sama. And as you pass, there will be many angels they pass. And they will say, "Who is that smelling so lovely? Who is that person?" The soul won't answer. The angels carrying him will answer. They will say, "This is Fatima, the one who used to give people food when she came to the door. This is Ahmad, who used to make salah. This is so and so." And they will mention the best of your deeds and the best of names. And you'll pass by hundreds, thousands of angels, all of them wanting to greet you. And as you go up, you reach the barrier of one sama, their gates. When they get to one sama, the gates will be opened and you'll be raised higher and higher and higher, depending on your category, depending how good you are, being raised up all the way to the highest of sama. And then, when he reaches the highest sama, Allah, you will hear the words, and these are the words of Allah. Allah will say, "Write the name of my servant in al-illiyin, al-illiyun." And what is al-illiyun? It is the book, a register of those who are successful. So there are two books, al-illiyin and al-sijjin. Illiyin is a list, a register of names of all those who passed the exam. So then when he reaches this high level up and his soul is carried up, he will hear the voice of Allah in Allah's majesty and will say, "Now put his name down that he passed the exam in al-illiyin." And then Allah will say, "But return him now. Now you need to go back because you belong in the ground. I promise that when I took you, I made you, O insan, that you were made from the ground, you will return into the ground." So then this person covered in the clothing of Jannah, having his name and he knows now he passed the exam, he already knows. Now he's sent back to the qabr. There's of course a different journey for someone else. Only two journeys. This is the soul that was good. As for the soul that transgressed, committed sin, didn't perform the salah, didn't think about Allah, was bad to others, fought with this one, cheated that one, for a small gain of the dunya. For that person, as he's about to die and he realizes his time is up, and he becomes aware of death, he sees dark figures, scary creatures descending in his eyesight. No one else can see it except him. He screams, no one can hear, only he sees those things. The smell that emits from them is terrible and he's terrified. And then the angel of death himself comes in a very scary form. Allah protect us. This is for all of us. Only that, the good soul or the bad soul. There's no in between. And the angel of death comes and says, "Now your time is up. Come out to the fury and the anger and the displeasure of Allah. Come out to the punishment of Allah." And when the soul hears this, the soul retreats into the body. And the angel of death drags, and we all know this part, drags that soul out from the mouth. Like a piece of cloth being dragged through thorns, being dragged out with pain and severity. And the angel of death will, when that soul is pulled out, a disgusting, terrible smell will come out. The angel of death will pass that soul on to the angels around, and they will strike this person. And they will say, "What did you do? I don't want this for soul." And then a bag from Jahannam will be brought, filled with fire. And this will be wrapped around him. This will be his clothing. And he will smell the worst of smells. And then he will be taken up. Allah protect us. And as he passes, every angel, they will say, what disgusting soul is this? That smells so bad. What did he do? And they will say, this is the one who committed that sin, this sin. This is the one who didn't do this or that one, who harmed this person and that person. All his sins they will mention. And he will reach the barrier of the first sama, and they will find the doors closed. And it will be said to him, no one here wants to see the soul. Allah doesn't want to see the soul. And he will hear the voice of Allah. And Allah will say, so record the soul in As-Sijjin. And what is As-Sijjin? As I said, it is the book of names of those who lost, who failed the exam, the wrongdoers. And he will come to know now he failed the exam. And Allah will say, and send him back to the qabr. And instead of being taken down like the good soul, rather his soul will be thrown back from the sama. They will drop him and he will fall with a great falling. Allah protect us. This is the two journeys. This or that. So now the person has just died. The one was came out in a goodness and he returns to his body. The bad soul comes back to his body and he knows what's awaiting him in the qabr. Now imagine that feeling. Now I want you to imagine this. Your soul had just been pulled. Now in this dunya, it only a second might have passed. But already the journey happened up and down. You are back in your body. You're lying in the qatl. The people are around you. Your family's crying. And you realize, I passed or I failed. And you realize now they're ghusling me and taking me to the masjid. You can hear them talking. And really the first people that judge us are the first judge of the people around us. Now we get to hear what they say. Well, they'll say, MashaAllah, Auntie so-and-so, she was such a good person. Always smiling, always giving. Or they say, this guy, you know, Allah have mercy on him, I know things about him. Now you can get to know the kind of person you were. And as they are preparing you, you can't do anything. You're just away. And you know what's coming. They will carry you now to the grave. They will carry you to the grave. For the believing soul, he will try and scream to his family, hurry up, get done. I'm waiting for my qabr. Wash me and get done with me. He will be impatient to reach his qabr because he knows that's his jannah. As for the disbelieving soul, the sinner, he will know what's waiting of punishment. He will try and tell his people, don't bury me, to keep me back. And that's why we hurry up. Non-Muslim may ask, yeah, why do you guys bury so quickly? The person dies this morning before Maghrib is in the grave already. Why? Because if he's a good soul, the Prophet says, don't delay his reward. He's waiting to get there. He's excited to get to his Jannah. As for the disbeliever, the wronging soul, then get rid of it. He just brings evil. Get rid of him now, as soon as you can. So when they carry him, the good one will say, take me quickly. And sometimes we feel bad for our relatives, so we think, ya Allah, we're going to put them in the grave, our mother, our father, how? But we think good of our dead. And we think that our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents are telling us, come, bury me now. I want to go there. But may this be for all of us, ameen. May the moment of our death be the best moment of our life. May that moment be, alhamdulillah, I'm done. I want to go here. This is where I belong. So as the Prophet says, hasten to bury the deceased. For if he was a righteous person, then you are taking him to something good. A house better than the house that he lived. A companionship better than his friends here. A reward better. Everything better. He's going, I mean, subhanAllah, you think like you're going on the best journey. So send him, don't delay him. If he's a bad soul, then it's an evil thing which you need to get rid of yourself. Relieve yourself of that. One who has found relief and one from whom, the Prophet says, when someone dies, one has found relief and one from whom relief has been found. They said, O Messenger of Allah, who are the ones who has found relief and the one from whom relief has been found? He said, the believing person has found relief from the troubles of this world. Now again, this world is filled with sadness. If we do it correctly, when we live our life, we don't have to be the best of people. We do the basics and try to be good people. Then again, Allah promised us, death will be a moment of goodness. We will be happy to die. And we will leave behind all the bad of this dunya. You'll find relief. And you'll find, and a bad person, unfortunately, then the world will be relieved of him. When we visit the dead, so now that we've buried the person, and the Prophet ﷺ encourages us to visit the dead, this is the dua. Maybe you want to take your phones out and take a picture. This is the dua that you make when you visit the maqbara. This is what you should say when you're there. As-salamu alaykum ahlul diyar. As-salamu alaykum, O people of this cemetery, the people that dwell here. Of the believers, min al-mu'mineen wal-muslimin, the believers and the Muslims. Insha'Allah, we will join you. Soon, we will also going to be here. We're going to be here soon. I ask Allah to keep us and you safe and sound. Small, simple dua. This is the dua that you make when you visit someone, the relatives. And it is part of the sunnah to visit the cemetery. Why? Because, and maybe I speak to myself first, I don't know when last I was at the maqbara, but before you make a big decision in life, go to the cemetery and ask yourself, does it make sense that I'm going to do this, considering this is where I'm going to end up? Does it make sense what I'm going to do now, where I might be here very, very soon? Just a side question. Can women visit the cemetery? Side question. What do you think? Can the sisters visit the cemetery, yes or no? So there's a difference of opinion here. The women should not visit when the person is being buried. So if someone, a relative of yours, has died, don't go at the moment when that person is being buried. Why? Because that emotion may be too much for you. So the Prophet says that there's a curse upon the zawarat, the women that visit frequently the cemeteries, that she does this habitually. Meaning, if she doesn't do it habitually, meaning once every now and then she visits her parents and she makes dua for them, no problem. So permissible, but not encouraged for the sisters, for the men, go and remind and reflect on the grave. And also, you don't have to be at the cemetery to make dua. Yes, at the cemetery we're more sincere, we're more serious. That's just being in that maqbara is creepy. Yes, it's creepy, now you're serious. But you can make dua at home. It's just as powerful. So the sisters, you can attend, but don't attend when the emotions are high, when someone has just passed away. Or while, I mean, subhanAllah, to watch your loved one being buried is not an easy thing. We put in the hole. Even though you know that this is a good person, inshallah, still, it's difficult. They're covering that person with sand. So at that moment, not advisable for the sisters. And again, so now we said the brother, the sister has passed away. He's just been informed he's going to Jannah, or he's being successful, or he's not successful. And they take him to the masjid, and they perform the janazah salah on him or her. Do we know what to say in the janazah salah? How many takbirs? Do you know in the janazah salah, how to make janazah salah? You say, Allahu Akbar. The imam will say, Allahu Akbar. And he will recite Surah Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then the imam will say, Allahu Akbar. And he will make salawat on the Nabi, like in the tashahud, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala Sayyidina Muhammad, kama salaita ala Ibrahim. Then he will say, Allahu Akbar, a third time. And in that takbir, we make dua for the dead. Allahumma gfir laha, warhamha, wa askina fi jannah, oh Allah, forgive her and have mercy on her. We make dua for that person. And then we say a fourth, Allahu Akbar. We either don't say anything or short dua for everyone else. And then Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. Very interesting. Scholars mention, when you are born, they make an adhan in your ear. And when you die, there's a salah without an adhan. Your life, your janazah salah's adhan is given when you are born. Your life is a short period. Already at the moment of your birth, the man, the imam, makes Allahu Akbar, meaning his janazah is waiting for him. Everything will lead up to that moment. Your life is the short period in between. There's a beautiful hadith that if 40 believing people make janazah salah on someone and they testify that this person is a good person, then inshallah that person will get Jannah. But if 40 people of character, of substance, therefore, think about your companion, your people in the dunya, are they worthy of your janazah salah? Think about now, who do I want to stand? Think about if you passed away, I passed away today, who will stand in my janazah? Are those good people? Are those quality people? Are those people that I would want to stand janazah salah for me? Or are they better people? If you want them to attend your janazah, you need to be with them here in the dunya now. Think about that. Now he's carried, she's carried to the same, to the grave. And he will hear the footsteps. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, think about this. Three things will go with you to the grave. Your family will go with you. Your wealth will go with you. Your deeds will go with you. But when they put you in the grave, your family will leave. Even if they love you, eventually the last one will leave and you alone. And your wealth that you worked your whole life, that empire that you amassed, Not one saint will go with you. All you and I will have will be that kafir. That's it. Nothing else. Not even shoes. Absolutely nothing. And you realize, even the one who lived in Bishop's Court and drove the best of cars were lying next to the person who had nothing, even not had food on the table. They end up the exact same way. This is the, Allah says, this is the cheat of life. You entered this dunya naked and nothing, and you will all leave the world the same. So what are you fighting over? There is no one who's going to win this dunya. Allah gave you your billions on lease, on loan. Now you die, He takes it back and gives it to somebody else. What are you fighting over? What are you killing yourself over? Because it won't be with you. We live in this life trying to attain as much as we can. Few of us would achieve it. But even the one who achieves his dreams and gets the billions, he can't keep it forever. He has to let it go. So Allah says, what is the point of all of that?